Treva against Gonzalez is our next case this morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Ms. Glazer.
May it please the Court. This is a petition for review from a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, and unless the Court has specific questions, I would like to address two issues. The first one is the petitioner's eligibility for asylum pursuant to 8 CFR 208.13b2a. And the second one is the nexus part of the Board's analysis with respect to past persecution. Your Honors, under 8 CFR 2.8.13, or the persecution per se aspect of well-founded fear, the Board properly analyzed the claim and found that in this particular case, the record clearly establishes a pattern and practice of persecution against the Roma minority in Bulgaria. Also, since there was a stipulation before the immigration judge, the Board properly credited Ms. Mitrova with the fact that she should...
What was the persecution, in your view? Your brief treats all private discrimination as if it were persecution. And, of course, on that ground, Bulgaria would be required to give asylum to most of the plaintiffs in Title VII cases. But I assume that's not true. There's a difference between private discrimination and persecution. Where's the persecution lie, in your view?
Well, Your Honor, the way we would like to submit it to the Court, the persecution lies first in the action taken by the police in Bulgaria against Ms. Mitrova following the participation in a rally in November of 99. And that will be a persecution sanctioned by the government of Bulgaria, since the police is clearly an arm of the Bulgarian government.
But if we focus only on the police action, I mean, we draw this line, which is obviously sometimes a difficult line to draw, between, on the one hand, harassment. I mean, a lot of unpleasant things happen in the world, even at the hands of the police, that are not persecution for purposes of these statutes, and persecution over on the other side. And while I'm sure Ms. Mitrova didn't like what happened to her after the rally, it, in the grand scheme, doesn't look like very much. I mean, maybe you could describe for us exactly why you think this set of events was persecution.
Well, Your Honor, if I may, very briefly, what Ms. Mitrova described very clearly was that after a participation in a political rally, she was subpoenaed to the police, and she was subpoenaed knowing that she had not done anything.
And what evidence was what evidence was presented regarding the extent of her participation in the rally? In other words, was she identified as the main organizer or a leader? And if not, then if the subpoena was related to the rally, one would expect others from the rally to have been targeted as well. I mean, including members of her family.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's one of the issues that the Board, I believe, mischaracterized. What Ms. Mitrova testified very clearly is that first the rally happened in a small town, and she testified that people know each other. And she was the one who was holding a poster. And also she clarified that there was another woman that she knew was holding a poster and also had a higher education. Well, considering the background information where most of gypsies in Bulgaria could consider uneducated, illiterate people, obviously we have here the two people targeted out of 30 to 50 gypsies are the two women who have higher educations, who were there holding a poster expressing, we want bread, you want employment. And considering the fact that Ms. Mitrova has testified, and it was never contradicted, that in fact in Bulgaria, people do not accept a woman, a gypsy woman, to rise to the level of management. And she clearly testified is that Bulgarian government does not want her there. They are happy that she is gone because that's what they want. They want all gypsies out. So what we have, Your Honors, here is that the people who were seen as the possible organizer, the possible figure that will rise and cause that possibility that the Bulgarian people will be assimilated by the gypsies, were the one who were targeted. Now, the board considered that nobody else was arrested. She clearly testified that she knows of another person who was in her situation that was arrested. Now, her sister is not educated. Her father is a construction worker. Her mother is basically a homemaker growing tobacco. Those people were of no interest to the government. They were not of interest to the police. Obviously, in this case, based on the evidence, that uncontradicted evidence, it appears that the police was targeting the people that they saw as dangerous to send the message. And that is what raises this particular case and this experience, not only on account of ethnicity, but also crosses the line of a political expression. Because she was subpoenaed the day after the rally. And if this court look at the subpoena, actually, it will see that it says there she's called in for an inquiry on a case that was opened the police on the day of the rally. Well, it's a little bit difficult to imagine that this is simply a coincidence. There is this rally of unhappy Roma people in a small town, and the next day, one of the organizers is called into police and accused on a trumped-up theft charge. So, based on that, Your Honors, I believe there is clearly evidence that she was targeted and singled out. Now, what
it sounds as though actually the social group that you're saying she belongs to is a subset of the Roma. It's the educated,
correct,
successful Roma. But,
correct. And if I may respond to the question, is that what makes Ms. Mitrova case perhaps a little different? Because obviously in Bulgaria there's clear 80 to 90% of the Roma people were unemployed. Bulgaria had problems, they were economically stagnation, etc., etc. What is different here is that Ms. Mitrova is educated, she has the experiences, and yet she is the one who is put in the hazardous environment. She is the one put to manual work. She is the first to be fired, although she is the educated woman.
Let me ask you a different question. Focusing on the risk of future persecution.
Yes.
Bulgaria, of course, is a country that's in the midst of formal accession negotiations to join the European Union, mm-hmm. and it's a member of the Council of Europe, and thus claims can be taken to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg and so on. Do you think that there should be, like, cross asylum between the European Union and the United States? I can think of people of Arab ancestry who feel very wronged in the United States in recent years, or African Americans or others, and people in Europe who are suffering from the kind of discrimination that you described. But there are procedures in place in Europe as a whole to address these things.
Well, Your Honor, I would ask the court to take additional notice that since, I believe, 1999, Bulgaria has been convicted 3 times of violence against Roma. What happened, however, is, and it's in the record, is that police seized those cases, thank you to the European Court, as a blemish on the Bulgaria, and that the gypsies, the one who are complaining, are the reason why Bulgaria is chastised in all the human rights report, and that she has a little bit harder time to get admitted into NATO. And it appears that that's the reason why the police is going to extraordinary lengths not to permit Roma to take a medical certificate. It happened in this case. That's why they go and intimidate this woman for 4 months. They tell her, we will kill you. You're not going to go away, you dirty gypsy. They send mass policemen to go after her because there is this held view that gypsies who are complaining to the European Union and to the European Court of Human Rights are taking out the dirty laundry. And the gypsies are to blame why Bulgaria is not being accepted as a member. And I believe it is very relevant to see is that actually those cases that were handed down in Netkova and Asenov and Marisova, all these cases actually backfired because now the police appears to see gypsies as potential troublemakers. And the record says, Your Honor, if I may, I see my time is up, if I can just complete in another minute. The record says that police in Bulgaria sees the act of beating gypsies as a sport. Anytime when an arm of the government sees minority as a victim that they can just with impunity abuse will cross the line that person who belongs to that group will be entitled to asylum based on the per se aspect of the well-founded fear. I have 3 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honors.
Almost used it, yeah.
Thank you, counsel.
No, she doesn't.
Mr. Cote.
Please, the court. Thank you, Your Honor. I'm not going to rehash what the government has submitted in its brief. I would just
But I have a brief complaint about your brief, which is just that whatever the ultimate outcome of this case was, you know, I was quite struck, for example, on page 7 of your brief, where you're discussing this incident at the police station, which is, of course, official action. And you say, upon her refusal, it's kind of in the middle of the page, the police officer became angry and called her dirty bitch and other names. Well, the whole point of this is that the names that they were calling her had to do with her being a gypsy. And unless you had already read, I mean, which I actually had done, the immigration judge's oral opinion and the BIA's opinion, you wouldn't know that. It seems to me the government needs to just face up to the facts and the record. And if she's being called these ethnic slurs, that's a piece of evidence people use to show that whatever they've suffered is on account of their membership in a particular group.
Your Honor, that reference there is the only bit of information we have from that police incident that could be attributed to the motive of the police officers.
Well, but she testified, and I think her testimony was regarded as credible,
yes,
if I recall correctly,
yes,
that they were using ethnic slurs
I believe,
at that time.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe her testimony, if I recall, was that when she
police
refused...
Police screamed ethnic epithets at her, called her a black gypsy and a dirty old bitch. Well, you know, that's a different... You know, a different impression than you get from what you were saying in your brief.
Right, Your Honor. But if you look at all the facts regarding that incident, Ms. Matrieva was harassed thereafter, not because, and the facts of at least her testimony shows, not because she was a gypsy, but because she was pursuing, or she attempted to pursue some sort of claim against the police for the mistreatment she received.
Well,
she tried to get.
She's presented evidence that the police action against her was related to her ethnicity, both with the timing, the day after the rally, and with what the subpoena stated, and with the use of ethnic slurs during her confinement. Was there any evidence that contradicted that? I didn't see.
Yes,
it.
Your Honor. Her testimony describing events after she was released from police custody clearly shows that she made an attempt to get medical records so she could sue the police. She received phone calls and was approached by police thereafter, not saying we're going to get you, gypsy, or making any racial slurs, but telling her to keep her mouth shut about what happened during the incident at the police station.
But she's also put in here that one of the police officers put his face right in front of her and yelled, "Don't waste my time, you gypsy bitch, sign or I'll kill you." I mean, you know, one can assume that both the police and she remember that this is what went on. And, you know, maybe in the end this one incident wasn't enough to amount to actual persecution as opposed to inappropriate police harassment, but this wouldn't be the first time, you know, that some quote-unquote uppity ethnic minority member, you know, we have a rather sorry history in our country of some of that as well, is singled out for persecution precisely because she is insisting on her rights.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I would direct the court to its decision, prior decisions with analogous facts, specifically the Yurukov case, which is cited in the government's brief, where in that case an ethnic Macedonian was discriminated economically by the government because of his ethnicity. He was harassed for participating in a rally. He was detained and beaten for participating in a rally, and then he, like petitioner here, left the country with the government's permission and filed asylum in the United States.
As we've pointed out in our opinion, sometimes governments like this are more than happy to issue passports to these people and get rid of them.
Right.
So I don't think we take much from that. What about death threats? I mean, people might feel threatened by a death threat.
Yes, Your Honor. In the government's position, and it's not briefed here, obviously, is that threats alone would not necessarily constitute persecution. That you'd have to, in some cases, depending on the facts of the case, all these cases are fact-specific, of course, you may need more than just threats.
So if the police come and call you every day and say, we're going to kill you if you don't leave the country, you should just sort of say, oh, well, you know, I haven't seen the tank pull up in front of the house yet. I mean, what?
Well, Your Honor, we have threats here only as they relate to, and clearly what her testimony shows is the threats here relate to her pursuing some sort of action against the police. The threats did not come at her for being, according to her testimony, for being a gypsy. The threats, the specific words she used when she described the threats is that they told her to keep her mouth shut.
Well, what about page, so you just say we should disbelieve what the testimony in page 6 of her brief, don't waste my time, you gypsy bitch, sign or I'll kill you.
That was a threat when she was being held.
Right, and it sounds like it's connected to her ethnicity to me.
What evidence was there that a theft in the neighborhood actually occurred or that she was a legitimate suspect?
There was no evidence submitted to that effect, Your Honor, by petitioner. Obviously, the government wouldn't have access to, and it's not the government's burden to provide that sort of evidence in these cases. But getting back just really quickly to the Rukov case, I would just like to, of course, we all know our burdens here and our standards here is in that Rukov case, the court very clearly was sympathetic to the alien in that case and said so at the end of the brief. However, the court acknowledged that maybe if it was the fact finder in the case, that it would have granted asylum. And certainly, maybe if this court was the fact finder in this case, it may be inclined to do so. But that's not our burden here. And we're looking at whether or not the evidence compels a different conclusion that the immigration judge and the board arrived at. And just like in the Rukov case, whereas the alien may be sympathetic, that alone is not enough to grant asylum. And the government's position, as drafted in its brief, is that the record evidence does not compel a contrary conclusion with the board.
Of course, the State Department's country reports for quite some time, up to and including 2004, indicate that conditions in Bulgaria for the Romani are pretty awful. Lots of words, perhaps, but very little real change, according to our State Department, which I have to say doesn't tend to sugarcoat, or does tend, actually, often to sugarcoat things, but that's what they say.
Your Honor, does the State Department report relied on by the board does indicate that, you know, while things are not perfect in Bulgaria, as they're not perfect in many countries, as
well, they go beyond that, though, and they show these terrible statistics about what's happening with the Romani. I don't see that it really corroborates the board's view of things.
Well, the board did highlight the fact that the government is taking steps to improve. Now, these steps obviously have not all born fruit, but
the rest of the, then if you go on and read further in the State Department's report, the State Department does report that the government has passed various programs designed to improve the condition of the Romani, but then it goes on to say, but the following problems, you know, still exist.
Right.
So, you know, maybe you need to read the whole report, not just the part you like.
Yes, Your Honor. If the court has no further questions, the government would just submit on its brief.
Thank you, Mr. Cote. Anything further, Ms. Glazer?
Yes,
Your Honor. About 30 seconds.
Yeah. Your Honor, the problem with the board decision is what exactly they said. With respect to the police, they said the record reflects that the basis for the subpoena was something other than the respondent's ethnicity. They didn't tell us what they thought the reason was. The immigration judge thought it was a theft that they were investigating. The government saying, oh, it was basically the effort to cover up. Well, since the board did not make it clear and they wrote anew, they did not adopt the immigration judge, they wrote anew. And they basically didn't tell this court or petitioner what they were finding. There's impossibility for this court to review, to conduct a meaningful review of something that leaves it open to whoever wants to do it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.